see. Hide not thy face far from me. Put not thy servant away in anger. Thou hast been my help. Leave me not, neither forsake me, O God of my salvation. When my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. Teach me thy way, O Lord, and lead me in a plain path because of mine enemies. Deliver me not over unto the will of mine enemies, for false witnesses are risen up against me, and such as breathe out cruelty. I had fainted, unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thy heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. We notice here in verse number 13, the verse begins with these three words. I had fainted. I had fainted. To faint means to grow weary, to become weak. Faint means to be feeble, cowardly, or dejected with exhaustion. When a person faints, they give up or quits their present activity. They cease their present pursuit or aims because of their difficulty, because of their lack of strength, or because of their lack of desire to continue. The psalmist here says in verse 13 that he had almost done those things. I had fainted. He was on the brink of giving up. He was on the brink of quitting. He was on the brink of exhaustion and was ready to stop his present activity. He was pushed to the brink by the reality of his life. He was pushed to the brink by his present circumstances that were in his life. He was driven to this point by the ongoing war that was ever present with him. Notice the words that he uses to describe his present reality, that he uses to describe the events that he was feeling and experiencing during this part of his life, and yet every day that he lived upon the face of the earth. We see in verse number 2, he describes those that would rise up against him as the wicked. We see also that he calls them his enemies or his foes. The fact that they came upon him to eat up his flesh. These are all words that David uses to describe for us, to draw our attention to the fact that he faced opposition in his life. Can we identify with that this morning? Of course we can. We see further in verse number 3 that he explains that an host was encamped against him. He explained that war should rise against me. He described his life here in the imagery as a battlefield, as a continual war, raging, that had him putting his neck to the hazard each and every day for the Lord. He saw his enemies advancing. They were continually desiring to eat up his flesh, as he says in verse number 2. And in verse 3, a host encamped against him, a continual war, a continual battle that raged in his life. Can we identify with that? Most certainly we can. Notice verse 5. He says in verse number 5, in the time of trouble, he identified the fact that his life was filled with times of trouble, with times of turmoil, with times of difficulty. This could be a general description of our lives upon this earth, the time we spend here from the cradle to the grave. As a time of trouble, even as the psalmist says here. You can see the reality that was pressed upon him. The reality of enemies, of war, the reality of battles to fight, of foes that were always advancing, of times of trouble. Then in verse number 10, we see him forsaken. When my father and my mother forsake me, he was forsaken. Others had left him, and he could not gather help or strength or encouragement from them anymore. They were not around. Whether it was because they had died, which could have been the case, with David's mother and father, or whether it was because he had been deserted, he was forsaken. He cried out in the previous verse that he would not be forsaken by God. So you see in his life, he faced being forsaken. Others had left him and could not find encouragement. We experienced that too. Sounds familiar. Then in verse number 12, he uses the phrase false witness. And then, of course, he ends verse 12 by talking about those that breathe out cruelty. A general description, again, of the enemies that he faced. That they bore false witness. They said things that were not true. They brought false accusation and they breathed out cruelty. They desired to be cruel unto him in his life. And again, all of this sounds very familiar to the life that we lead in the service of the Lord. As we spoke about last week, we want to tie our thoughts in this morning to what we spoke about last week concerning the fact that every single day that we face here upon the earth, it's a battle. Though not a physical one, that we resist to flesh and blood and the inflicting of pain or the inflicting of injury upon another human being physically. But instead we see that this battle is a spiritual one, as David is describing here. All of these words that he uses describes the spiritual battle that he knew so much about that we face today. As we add everything up that David speaks about here in describing the reality of his life, the sum of it is extremely overwhelming. When you take all of that together, we have a bit more understanding of why in verse 13 he says, I had fainted. When you add all of this up and look at the course of his life and the difficulties that he faced, he says here that I'd almost quit, I'd almost fainted, I'd almost been too feeble, weak, and overwhelmed to continue. These are the reasons why he was about out of strength, out of courage, out of patience. And again, we can relate to what David was feeling, because we have many enemies that we face. We have many and various foes that would eat up, instead of our flesh, as he put it in verse number 2, instead of our flesh, they would eat up our soul, they would eat up our spirit. They want to take away and render neutral our relationship with God. Our lives are a spiritual battlefield. David had as much to fight against as we do today. We fight that battle every single day. And there are some days that we feel like fainting. There are some days that, like David, we examine all of these things and we say, I might as well quit. I might as well just not even go to the fight today. And we faint. Or we come close to it. We notice here further in verse number 13 that this isn't the whole story. But before we move on to the rest of verse 13, flip over quickly with me to Psalm 73. Because David uses the terminology here, I had fainted, or I almost gave up, I almost ran out of courage, I almost quit in this battle because I was about out of strength. There's another psalm written, not by David, but this time by Asaph, and he uses similar words. And this is just to show you an example that this isn't contained just to David, but it applies to us all. Here's a man with a similar experience. Psalm 73, verse 1. Truly God is good to Israel, even to such as are of a clean heart. But as for me, my feet were almost gone, my steps had well nigh slipped. For I was envious at the foolish when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. Here Asaph says, I had fainted. He looked around and he saw that those that weren't serving God, those that were wicked, those that were following the desires of the flesh and the pursuits of the world were doing better than he, and he almost quit. Gave up. But just like Asaph, we find that in David, they both have something else in common, as that's not the end of the story. Go back with me to Psalm 27. Psalm 27, verse So we see Asaph as a great example. We see David. But you know what? It's also in our lives today that we are tempted to faint, quit, to stop, to lack the courage to go forward, to not want to fight in the battle anymore, to be fatigued, to be weak, to be feeble. But as we notice here in verse number 13, from the wording, as David puts it, I had fainted, we understand from that terminology that he did not actually quit. He did not actually faint and cease from his present activities in the fight. But instead, he continued. Instead, he went on and pressed further into the battle for that day and the next day and the next day. And what was it? What was it that kept him in the fight? What was it that pushed him forward just a little bit further? What was it that kept him from going over the brink of fainting and giving up, of being feeble and exhausted? Notice here, he says, I had fainted in lips. I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. The only thing that delivered David back from the brink of fainting and of giving up and of quitting was that he believed in the goodness of God. He believed in the goodness of Jehovah. As you see the word Lord spelled out in capitals there. He believed in the goodness of Jehovah. That is, he was utterly convinced of the constant care, devotion, love, and provision of the Father. He was convinced of it. Beyond the shadow of a doubt, with every fiber of his being, he was convinced of the goodness of God. He believed it. Not just not just the end and of itself, but it's much more specific than that here in verse 13. You see, you and I can have doctrine committed to memory and even to belief, and it can just be a fact. It can just be something that we know, something that we've learned. Just something that is a kind of thing. But for David, it was more. I mean, who this morning would deny that God is good? No doubt there are some in Florida this morning that are questioning it. But still, we know God is good. But who among us would say, no, God isn't? But all of us today would say, yes, God is good. But is that enough to carry you through? Is that enough to keep you back from the brink of being faint and giving up and going back? It's not. Not just knowing it, believing it, but notice here, he says that he believed to see the goodness of the Lord. Where? When? Right now, in the land of the living. You see, to David, it was a real, real, tangible benefit to him that the Lord was good. And he said, I believe it. Not just for time and eternity, not just as a fact from Scripture that I learned in Sunday school, it was reinforced from the pulpit, but I believe it right here and right now, in this present moment where I'm about to faint and quit and give up, God is good. He believed in His constant care, His devotion, His love, His provision. Let us understand today, believe, and be utterly convinced that God is good all the time. And as the saying goes, all the time, God is good. David believed that with every fiber of his being. We know that God, our Heavenly Father, the great I Am, Jehovah, is for us. Let us believe this like David, with every fiber of our being, with the entirety of our souls. Be convinced of it. Again, not abstractly, but concretely in this moment, that God is good and will work for us. As Romans 8:31 says, if God be for us, who can be against us? Really, who can? And that's really at the heart of what David is saying here. He understood that God would be good to him, would deliver him goodness and blessing and benefit, would give him protection, would give him leadership, would give him some other things that we're going to see. And just knowing that and believing that gave David exactly what he needed. Gave him the motivation that he needed to continue the fight. Just going forward and onward in the war that raged against him. And it will for us as well. If you're convinced that God is good. Look around and see the goodness of God in your life today. How has God been good to you? And when we say God is good, we simply mean that God is doing good for us all the time. Sometimes it's at the heart of Romans 8:28. All things work together for what? For good. I mean, that's more than just saying, well, God has a purpose in it, you know, and He does. But let's take it further than that and understand that it means that God is delivering good to us every moment of every day. Even in the hard and difficult times. Even when our health is not what we'd like. Even when our finances or our job situation or our emotions are not what we would like. Even when we're in storm and trial and difficulty, God is delivering good to us. Let's believe that today. Let us understand it and concretely see it in the land of the living that God is daily doing us good. Daily. Working on our behalf. That is His purpose in our lives. This psalm is filled with the contrast between the battle and the reason for discouragement that could so easily cause us to faint. And then on the other side of it, the reasons why we should continue. God provides us, as we studied last week, with some spiritual armor. We studied about that last week. He has armed us. He has given us shield and breastplate and He has given us helmet and He has given us sword to go and fight. He has provided us with those things that we need to withstand the attacks of the enemy. It's up to us to put them on and to be protected. That's a wonderful possession for us if we will use it and wear it as we endeavor to put it on. But in this passage, we see that there is more that God has given us in order to be successful in this battle and in this war. More. More than just the armor. And that is a great thing. More than just an armor. But think about a soldier. A soldier equipped. He's got his chest rig on and he's got his armor plate in there. He's got all of his gear at his side. He's got his M4 slung across his shoulder, his sidearm at his hip, and he's ready to go and fight. He's got all of the weapons of war, all of the protections. He's got his helmet. He's got his radio. He's got all the things that could be outfitted to a soldier wherever he's going to fight. Could be equipped with sword and shield, in other words. But if he lacks motivation, if he lacks strength, or if he has a great deal of fear, what good is all of that stuff? If all of that stuff remains back at base when his unit goes out to fight, what good is all that stuff if he buries himself in the foxhole and won't go out and engage the enemy? What good is all of that stuff? He's afraid to fight. He'll not win the day. He will not advance. He won't even be able to hold his ground. So understand that the armor is certainly a great part of our fight against this enemy. But as you think about all of those protections, all of those wonderful things that God has given us, there is more. What if we're too afraid? What if we lack the courage? What if we lack the desire, the motivation? A soldier needs to believe in the purpose of the battle. A soldier needs to not be afraid of the fight. A soldier needs strength and courage. And I believe in this psalm, David reveals why he was able not to just not quit. I mean, that's what the verse about painting here is about. That he says, I didn't quit because I know God's good. Now if we go back to verse number 1, we're going to see some evidence of that goodness. We're going to see some other things that God provides for us, that He gives to us, that we would be motivated in the fight, that we would be equal to the task, and that we wouldn't be afraid of what's before us. We notice here, right off in verse number 1, David makes this bold statement upon which many a sermon could be preached. He says, "The Lord is." You can put dot, dot, dot after that and fill it in with many wonderful thoughts. Study many wonderful blessings about the Lord and His wonderful relationship with His people. But notice, he, that is David, says here first, "The Lord is my life." He's saying, as I go faint, as I go forward in this battle, I understand that the Lord is my light. And He is ours today as well. The Lord is our light this day to illuminate the darkness that surrounds us. It is a dark and a dreary land as we are called to serve the Lord in. We're surrounded by the darkness of sin, the depravity of man, the desires of and lust of the flesh lived out on a grand scale. It is dark in the world today, but the Lord, He is our light. He is our light. Notice in Job, if you turn over there, you're not too far being in Psalms. Job chapter number 29. Job was a man that experienced much darkness. I think we referenced him last week also. Job 29 in verse number 3. And here in the conversation that he had with his friends, notice here in verse 1, "Moreover, Job continued his parable and said, 'Oh, that I were as in months past, as in the days when God preserved me, when His candle shined upon my head, and when by His light I walked through darkness.'" Job remembers the days when he experienced the blessings of God, and he said, "He shined as a light to lead me through the darkness of this world, the darkness of my own sin and depravity, the darkness of all the sin and depravity that surrounds me." He's there to illuminate. We are not the children of the night or of the darkness, as we see in, I think it's 1 Peter 5. We are children of the light. Therefore, let us walk in the light, as He is in the light, 1 John 1, in verse number 7 talks about. Let us have fellowship with Him and walk in the light. He is our light. We find the Lord is my light to brighten our hearts with the light of His love. Doesn't He do that to us each day? Doesn't He brighten our heart, which can get so discouraged? Can get so filled with darkness and gloom, terror, and difficulty. It gets so filled with all of those negative things, negative thoughts, negative emotions. And as He communes with us, He brightens our heart, that we might be ready and motivated for the battle that is ahead. Let's be honest, though, we might not be scared of the dark if all the lights were to go out. There's still something unsettling about being in the dark, isn't there? Something unsettling about the removal of light. When we see that the Lord is my light, we know that He is to be a lamp under our feet and a light unto our path. Psalm 119 talks about it. The word of the Lord is a lamp unto our feet, a light unto our path, that it might shine the way that we are to walk in this world. We're not walking alone, we have a light. Jesus Christ Himself in John 1 is described as the light of the world. He is our light. The Lord is our light. Let us go forward and fight, being led by that light. And being encouraged by the fact that He is there at all times to light the way for us. And that should motivate, that should remove the difficulty. We don't have to grope around in the darkness of this world for the correct path. We have the light of the Lord to light the way. The darkness may discourage us from moment to moment and time to time. Let us, who are of the day, be encouraged because the Lord is our light. Psalm 18 and verse 28 says, "For thou wilt light my candle. The Lord thy God will enlighten my darkness." We ought to be praying and crying out to God, "Light my candle. Light my fire. Let me burn. Let me see through your eyes that which I need to see. Remove the darkness. Let it flee away by your light." He does brighten our heart. He does illuminate our path. He does work in our lives to shed light and to scare away the darkness that is so naturally around us today. It says, "The Lord is my light." But notice David continues here. This is not the only thing the Lord is to us. Not the only reason why we should continue in this battle. He is our light. And you can imagine adding to your armor, a lantern for the soldier to carry and be led by. It's not him, maybe one around him is carrying it and leading him. A very important aspect, of course, in battles to be able to see what you're fighting against and to know it's there, to illuminate it, to see what the enemy is doing. And then, secondly, he says, "The Lord is my light and my salvation." The Lord is my salvation. He is my deliverance. He is my rescue. He is my protection. He is my redemption. He is my emancipation. The Lord is salvation to us in every sense of the word. The Bible uses salvation, the word salvation, to communicate what we're saved from in different ways. We find that the Lord is our salvation, the salvation of our eternal souls in Christ, of course. He is the salvation then also of our temporal lives as we are changed into the image of Christ. He saves our physical lives through His Word. Then, of course, finally, He will save us completely as we are changed into the image of Christ, as we are brought from this place unto where He is, and our bodies put on immortality. What a glorious thing. Salvation is the Lord. Believing in the Lord is our salvation, being fully convinced with our entire being that we have been, are, and will continue to be saved by Jehovah through Christ. What a blessing that is, as we are to be soldiers of the cross today. What a glorious thing. And it does encourage us, it does motivate us to go forward in this life as we serve the Lord. Psalm chapter 3 and verse 8. If you want to flip over there quickly. Psalm chapter 3 and verse number 8. Let's read verse 7. It says, "Arise, O Lord, save me, O my God. For thou hast smitten all mine enemies upon the cheekbone, thou hast broken the teeth of the ungodly. Salvation belongeth unto the Lord. Thy blessing is upon thy people, Selah. It is of Him that we are saved." The Lord is salvation. And we rejoice in that spiritually, knowing that we are going to be with Him forever in eternity because of Christ. Being saved from our sins, and having that fear gone of hell and being subject to the second death. But you know what? Salvation extends even to our present lives here now. Now the battle isn't physical. Spiritual. It extends to right now. He is our salvation in this spiritual battle that we face. He is here every moment to deliver us. Every moment to save us. Every moment to protect us, to rescue, to deliver. Praise God today that we have that in Him. We have that in Him. He goes with us in the battle. He goes with us in the fight. He is always there. He is our salvation. This gives us not only motivation, but courage to fight. Courage to know that as you stand toe-to-toe with Satan and with his evil emissaries, as they try to take the peace, try to take the joy, try to take and ruin your life and to make everything so difficult, that as you fight, you'll not be overcame and lose your salvation. You'll not be utterly overran. The Lord is salvation to His people. Psalm 18, verse 2, the Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God and my strength, in whom I will trust, my buckler and the horn of my salvation and my high tower. And that leads us to the third thing that David says here. After the question mark, he says, the Lord is the strength of my life. What a glorious thing. What a glorious statement. What if we all, a lot of times I say hanging on the refrigerator, probably a lot of this today, say, what if we all put that as the lock screen on our phone? We look at 100,000 times a day. And it says, the Lord is the strength of my life. Wow, what a statement. He is. Soldier needs strength to go forth and fight. A soldier that is weary, a soldier that is about to faint because of weariness, is no soldier at all, even if he has all the armor. Even if he has all the equipment. We need strength to go and fight. And we do that. We do that in the name of the Lord. He is our strength. Strength to encourage the heart. Strength to bolster the soul. Strength to invigorate with purpose the people of God under the battle. That's what strength does. And we need to be invigorated today to the battle. This pushes us past our natural fears of the fight. And it pushes us onward in this battle, in the work of the Lord, as history progresses. And as we continue to fight, we have the strength we need in the Lord. We referenced David last week as he fought Goliath. What did he say? He said unto Goliath, you come to me with spear and with sword. I come to you in the name of the Lord. That's where his strength lies. Look, to David, you didn't see much at that time in his life as far as physical specimen was concerned, but he had all the strength he needed to fight that battle, didn't he? He had all of it. And so will we, because the Lord is our strength. This strength provides confidence in the battle. And an inward knowledge of victory and deliverance. Notice here in verse number 3. He says, though an host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident. A soldier that has confidence is a powerful foe to face. Let us have confidence today that the Lord is our life, the Lord is our salvation, the Lord is our strength. Add those things and that knowledge, that motivation, that encouragement to all of the armor we talked about last week. And let us fight the battle. So then as soldiers of the cross, we fight in this battle daily. We war on and on. And it will go better for us if we take this knowledge that David presents to us. To understand that if God be our light, then we need to fear no darkness at all. That if God be our salvation, then we need to fear no danger. And if God be our strength, then we need to fear no depletion. Because there is always more strength to be had. David's conclusion is found here in verse number 1. Of the whole thing, he sort of gives the answer before he asks the question in a sense. I mean, he has talked about everything here. But his conclusion in verse number 1 is, whom shall I fear? Of whom shall I be afraid? Given the fact that the Lord is our life, our salvation, and our strength. Add to that the knowledge that the armor that he's given to you to wear and to wield, whom shall we fear? Shall we fear Satan? Understand that he is a very powerful foe, yes. Realize that he is dangerous. Realize that he is wily. Realize that he is a roaring lion. Realize that he is out to devour and defeat the people of God, yes. But fear? No. No. Fear no enemy. Fear no foe. Of whom shall I be afraid? Shall I be afraid of the men of this world? No. As they rise against us, as they push their evil and wicked ways, should we be afraid? No. Not because we're full of ourselves, but because we know of what the Lord has given us here. Verse number 2, David testifies the Lord took care of his enemies. He says, the wicked came, my enemies and my foes came to eat my flesh. And what happened to them at the end of verse 2? They stumbled and they fell. They weren't able to accomplish their task. David says, I'll not be afraid because I know ultimately who the one who has all the power. He's the one that is with me. He says in verse number 3, that his heart was not fearful because of those that would make war with him. This all teaches us, I think, to seek the presence of the Lord. And that's reflected in David's statement here in verse number 4. It says, one thing have I sought, or have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. And behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire is simple. David said, all I want to do is be with the Lord, to be with Him. We realize that that is the greatest source of strength, of deliverance, of light, of protection, of provision, of everything we need to fight this battle is found right in the presence of the Lord. Seeking His presence in prayer, seeking His presence in worship, seeking His presence in communion and fellowship, as David did in times of trouble. He says in verse number 5, He shall hide me in His pavilion. In the secret of His tabernacle shall He hide me. He shall set me upon a rock. Says there's a place of safety here. You know, Psalms 91 talks about our Lord being a fortress, being a refuge, being a buckler for us. Oh, what a wonderful thing for a soldier to know that he is not fighting alone. We have each other, similarly outfitted and armed for the battle. We have, of course, the captain of our salvation leading us in a fight for Him. But we also have Jehovah, our light, our salvation, our strength, as we go and fight. And He will hide us and protect us and deliver us as needed as we seek His presence and His lodging in His great and glorious pavilion. Don't faint. Don't get overwhelmed in the battle today. But instead, believe like David. Believe like David. I had fainted. And that may be true for all of us. Just this week, maybe we had fainted. Maybe there's one particular part of your life that you did faint and give up. Whatever it is. But like David, let's hopefully make that the rest of that statement true in our life as well. I had fainted unless. Unless I had believed, unless I had been totally and utterly convinced that God was good and would be good to me right now in this moment of lacking strength, in this moment of being tempted to quit and faint, in this moment where I'm almost overran, I believe God is good to me. Let that be your motivation as we fight this battle, as we go forward in it, because it is a battle we must fight and be victorious in. A lot of soldiers have laid down their arms and joined the other side. A lot of soldiers have abandoned even the battlefield and quit the fight. Just decided to just go with the flow of the world. Let us not be named among them today. Let us be motivated to fight and move forward in this. Let us stand while I invite musicians to come.